At the end of your life, what will be your legacy? What will you leave behind for future generations? For the world, join the world messenger, Isabella Lundberg. Each week as she brings you a new distinguished guest from the business, sports, or entertainment world to share their success, their struggles, and their lessons. They will share their insights into current hot topics that affect everyone. Isabella facilitates an intimate, vulnerable environment to find the true value of humanity and real leadership. Are you ready for your legacy? The legacy that matters?
You had opportunity to ask the founder and visionary behind very successful, one of the fastest growing companies on Inc. 5000 that is game changing in multiple different industries, specifically around providing tremendous service around the world through logistics for the government, but also corporate arena. What would you ask? Hello, hello, my beautiful friends. It's Isabella Lundberg here, the world messenger, and inviting you for another epic episode of Legacy Leader Show. I am super thrilled to introduce you to someone who I get a chance to know, and I want to make sure now you guys know him as well and his company, something that it's very worthwhile everybody's time to sit down and buckle down and listen, because how do you grow a company? How do you put your idea and dreams into vision? How do you execute? And how do you make tremendous impact in areas that very few people manage to do? Without further ado, I wanted to introduce you to the CEO and founder of a Coag Corporation, who is expert in logistics, and it's also a thought leader, who is published author, who has been featured in Wall Street Journal and many other publications, and who is doing amazing work behind the scene in private, public, and nonprofit sector. Paul, how are you?
I'm good, Isabella. Thanks for the introduction.
Absolutely. I know, Paul, you're doing some tremendous work behind the scenes, and this is now an opportunity for people to get the chance to know you from very different lens. And I first of all want to say thank you for opportunity and trust so that we can really depict some of the questions I'm sure that everybody that is watching and listening eager to learn. First of all, before we go into how did you establish your company and why, do you want to share a little bit about your upbringings? You come up from very amazing family, and something that I'm sure everybody can relate and has a great story.
Yeah, that's a good, I'm happy to share. I actually had two. I was blessed. That's where you hear me talk about intangible wealth. I know that I was blessed to have two parents that valued more of the things eternal than the material things. So we may not have had a great deal of material, but I always felt that we were given the things that in my mind valued then and they value now. When I look at our own son and being able to pour those things in, I feel like I've been blessed beyond measure because they sacrificed what I see as a parent. You take a financial kind of hit in so many ways to be there, whether it's time or sacrificing on larger opportunities to be there. I mean, other people can do it. I just chose, when I see myself, when you look for being able to pour that same level of love and kindness into your own kids, you take a step back to kind of push in on a material sense. So that's what they did with us. And I feel that really coded me and etched me for a lot of things to endure what I felt have been very challenging levels to reach where I'm at.
And it's so interesting then when you're sharing about like how that foundation, how we get parented, right? And then how do we end up parenting our own children, but in the same time, who we become as a leader is based on those early foundations. And do you mind sharing what some of the top traits that help you to instill in you that are making you now a tremendously successful leader today?
So one of the things that I was blessed, you know, my dad is a physically imposing man. We're probably the same stature, and my mom, even though she was small in frame, She was gifted with a lot of the empathy and the ability to focus on learning to write and to communicate well. So I would feel between empathy and having a focus on things beyond yourself. Also, with my dad basically telling you the hard kind of truths in life. Look, nobody's going to give you anything. Probably more often than not, you're going to be the one who's got to be in the room and show your talents and abilities just to be equal. Don't expect anybody to give you a free handout when things were challenging. He's also been my father, but he's been behind the scenes as an advisor. There's still a lot of things that I had to learn on the go and still learn now, but to have somebody who's going to straight shoot with you, even if you don't always take the advice, that's been invaluable to be able to say, hey, I'm going through a challenging time. Hey, I got knocked down. What would you do? And some of the best things that they've ever did is say, look, I'll pray with you. I'll tell you what I did in those situations, but you're gonna have to figure this out on your own. And once he fi I figured it out, then I would come to have the ability to learn. And one of the greatest assets, even with business, when I went to start, when my brother got back from war the first time with the last company, he just said, hey, look, go figure it out. If you got questions, do it. But I knew what he was doing. He's a master teacher. He wanted us to learn our own skill sets and then bring to him what was good, what was bad, and then say, hey, look, improve from this, from that experience. So those things to be able to just keep going and never quit, knowing that, hey, if I failed at something, I had kind of a fallback to either ask them or just simply say, look, I just need somebody to pray for me. I don't need anything right now, or just any type of advice. Could you step in? And I knew I had to go walk through whatever the fire I had to. But that's been some of the biggest things. They didn't give money. They didn't really have it to give. And if they could, they probably would, but they still would have put that coded behind it. You're gonna have to figure it out on your own.
That is amazing because I love the opportunity, obviously, for us because we learn the best when we have that experience, right? Hands-on experience, but also that they also there to support and they're accessible and available. It's a great way to say, we're also here for you, also to give you that freedom and reins and opportunity. I feel like that is a beautiful way to not only be raised, but also a beautiful way to continue to learn and further develop. So thank you for sharing that with us. So, Paul, you did some amazing things. Obviously, you mentioned being very close to your both father and brother, and also having very strong sense of values and family. You mentioned also that your brother was serving, and that I'm sure influenced you in many different ways. So, how that pay upbringing and circumstances brought you to do what you currently do and forming amazing organization that is doing a lot of greater good on the large global scale.
That was instrumental. It's been the passion. It's been the driving force for why me personally, I got involved into it. I didn't see my brother for 4 years when he went in, kind of right when the war started, and I missed him. I didn't see him, but I could barely get the letters from him, so I missed him every day. And when the chance came, when he got back, that's when my dad was like, "Hey, you and your brother want to go into business." That's where we started it from, a vanity set that my mom had and an old desk and an old laptop. So I told him, hey, I haven't seen you in 4 years. Let's go at this. We can make up for missed time. So I remember him looking at me saying, hey, I don't know how we're going to start a business from a laptop and a vanity set, but hey, if you got it, let's go do it. So every time in my mind, when we take an order, when we do something, it's just in the back saying, hey, I remember wherever my brother could have been. I'm thinking, is he safe? Does he have what he needs? So that's the premise behind it. So I take it from connecting with vendors to even on a customer. Yes, you're trying to take resources and grow them. But at the same time, I'm sitting there thinking, hey, if somebody else has a family member like I did and you just want them home, let's be a viable channel to help them get what they need and support them where they need to go. So, in so many words, I like to say, if you're getting in the ring with me, essentially fighting to just go in and make a dollar over something, I'm doing it thinking, for somebody's trying to get their family member home, even though I wasn't able to serve, I think of my brother on every single order. It's just I cannot get that out of my mind. And what that drove to me, I often tell of the story. I was setting up Comcast in our apartment one year, and it was a Marine on the other side of the phone, and we got to talking, and he basically said, "I was in one of those units you help outfit, so I know you didn't specifically help me get home, but you played an instrumental part in that." For 5 minutes, he went on, "I'm home because I was in that," and it's re-solidified my passion for it. I'm thinking of somebody else besides me, and it's a good feeling to have, and I'll never forget that phone call. But that's when I see an order, I'm thinking of somebody else.
That is so powerful, and that is, I'm assuming, how Kuag got born. So do you
Yeah.
mind also a little bit sharing with the audience that is watching and listening about company and how it actually started, and how do you achieve these tremendous accomplishments in logistics and international and national distribution and so much more?
So that's interesting. And referencing our brother, after we had the first company, we kind of went our separate ways. He wanted to haul freight and take a different aspect, and I was gonna go in to just get another job. Wasn't gonna go back into entrepreneurship, but my back was essentially against the wall. In that story, it wasn't the best exit from the first company, so it put me in a challenging situation, and I realized trying to help somebody else is what prompted Kuog to start. And from there, I took the leverage of the relationships and that desire to want to step in and still help other people in that line of work. And that just drove it because I knew I was newly married, I had a new son, and didn't have any viable way to bring in revenue. So I took that passion, and that's what drove it. And once we were able to start helping what I felt important programs and end users, it solidified and moved it very fast into where it got to.
That is fascinating, and seeing that you are being able to not only to scale, but also to achieve a one achievement after another in terms of award, in terms of performance and excellence, but also to be one of the fastest growing companies year after year on Inc. 5000. So do you mind shedding some light? Because people don't realize how important that is and how much takes criteria-wise to really be able to say that. And this doesn't happen without great leadership, great vision and mission, and of course, phenomenal teams. So please tell us a little bit more about that.
So prior to the last company, I really didn't have a large background in corporate America. So for me, what it was an internal mark. Hey, if we can hit that growth pattern fast, it would, in my mind, solidify there's some things working. And what prompted it, there was a lot of external and internal threats. And by that, I mean, I knew some of the positions that I was playing in or trying to navigate through opportunities. You're essentially stepping on, I don't want to say other people's toes, but you're in their backyard for stuff they've won, they've operated in. So when you win, essentially, they're not able to win. So I took that indirect approach of saying, hey, if I could get good vendors and get good distribution partners, then I may have a fighting chance. And I was able to work out terms, and whenever I could find, or we could find at that time, end users and the product, we were able to say, hey, we have a better product. We're able to get it there faster at a more reasonable price. And so the leverage point for me was the distribution partners because I knew the external competition wasn't really going to see light and they were going to do everything to take me out and what I felt. So I felt my passion for wanting to do something for somebody else drove me to take that indirect approach. And in doing that, seeing that growth, it solidified, hey, if you can find the right people and if you can align with the right purpose, there's a lot of growth because when you win, they win. And that just spearheaded, hey, if I can replicate this in a few other places, maybe I have something. So it was important for me personally to say, hey, even though I haven't worked in corporate America, I was able to find something that solidified I may be on to something.
Wow. And not only that you're onto something, but you seem to be able to replicate that year after year. And I love how much you emphasize on having right partnerships and right relationships. And as a result, it's not just obviously US based, but also internationally, creating a ripple effect of tremendous impact. And you mentioned earlier how much that story of someone who actually directly benefit when they were deployed from the logistic distribution and your efforts, and made a huge difference not only in foreign country and dire situation when sometimes it's virtually impossible to get equipment or support or supply, and you made it happen. How that makes you feel? How do you see those challenging situations turning into victories?
Find some doubt because I read some places sometimes there's a lot of folks that may appear as though they know what's going on, but they don't. I can be transparent. There was a lot of times I didn't know. Let me just go on a hunch. And when you go and figure out, hey, well, that worked, there's kind of an internal validation for you to say, hey, if nothing else works, I've learned something about myself. I learned something about how other people work that can win. So if it's taken all away again, I have the ability and we have the ability to know what works. And that learning experience is what I was most proud of. Yes, that accolade meant something because I'll say it in transparency. There's not always opportunities where you can walk in and be equally viewed for having the viable down partners or the ability or capability. So when the ink was released, it kind of also was a wink of leg with it. I was able to share. Y'all played an instrumental part in this. We shared in it together. So even though it was my our company's recognition, it was their recognition as well, because some of the vendors allow terms. When other vendors won't allow terms and they sit there to try and utilize that to combat you so you can't win, you have other people in there who are willing to help and take that risk. Now, that things can go wrong. They did. The pandemic's easy to supply chain. So that to me, during those years, was very important for a validation to say, look, we replicated, we handled this during a very challenging time, and it was important. So getting behind the Inc. brand and what they've done to elevate our company and solidify things back in heaven, it was a personal kind of joy to share with those who played an important role in it.
And that is such a great reflection of your leadership, because obviously you're championing others and you're very forward-thinking, selfless, and obviously having chance to celebrate others in there and share the victories and successes. It's a great trait, but it's quite rare as we're seeing things in private and public sector. So how would you say for everybody watching and listening, what a piece of advice, regardless that they're starting their own enterprise or they're leading teams in already existing organizations, what was a key contributor to really be successful and continue to be successful?
So that's a great question. And one of the things that they seem to talk about that just is consistently true is it is important to find vendors or partners that are able to leverage resources that do not hinder you, because you're gonna, well, in our case, we ran into situations where access to affordable capital or the ability for someone to allow net terms was vital for our success. And when it didn't happen, it hindered it. And when it did happen, it gave us the leverage to move and grow. So it was a combination of both access to capital and access to vendor partners who are willing to help you. So we wouldn't have made it without either one of those. And personally, I did go through a challenging time where you carried a load of high access to capital fees that made it painful to go through some of the pandemic in those early years. So if you can get access to a strategic partner, whether through coaching, advising, or sourcing, it can be vital in that growth. Leveraging branding and marketing as a content marketing strategy to where you are in your sales cycle may be vital. And that's one thing I kept with me. I looked at the content marketing strategy and I wanted our sales cycle to replicate that versus just the traditional flow down model of awareness, branding, and then a buy cycle. I took a more holistic, circular view of it.
So much to learn from those experiences, and what I love, what I'm hearing, you never gave up. You always were able to figure it out, even though facing those challenges, to find effective solutions and knowing how to ask and who to ask, and then also continue to build these strategic partnerships as a core of your business. But I'm now curious, with everything you've done and everything you accomplished, obviously, what's the vision for Kuok? Obviously, because I know you're tackling some of the most difficult and challenging undertaking, and it's such a great way to not only know you, be associated with you, and then also be able to learn from you. And I'm sure everybody that's watching and listening, they're wondering the same. It's like, what do you do to preserve that? And then also, how do you do and continue to expand and grow?
It took a while to find the right people that are going to align on the purpose because, personally, I felt I went through more people that were trying to take me out than were trying to be an ally. There was a lot of that trying to weed out. And I learned through failure more than I did success about who was around for the right reason. And now, as growth trajectory is happening in this way, it's aligning with people who have those same values and purposes as I do, and being around people who are 10 times smarter than me and who have access to knowledge that they've probably forgotten more than I have yet to learn. But at the same time, being willing to see things from a different perspective, challenges that I can admit, you almost get to a burnout level when you try to carry so many things where you can have those opportunities to grow. But if you're not mindful of your own health, your own mental health, you will carry more than you should. So you will reach a point where you can grow, but you burn out. And to have those people who are able to step in and at the right time and carry kind of that load as a collective team makes everybody win in the process. And having gone through that here recently, as we start to grow in a wider ray of a vision for me, that was, for those who were listening, inclusive of technology, emerging tech, what AI will do to make it a better company for us and for those that get tied to us. As long as being able to be in a position to give back and being a staple in the supply chain, leveraging all of those while still valuing my own health and the health of those who contribute. And that has been something that has been very instrumental lately because for a while, even though you would put on the face and the airs that everything's okay, if you're not caring for the mental health and your own physical health, there was that tendency I had to go through and go through those challenges. I don't want to say forgetting it, but knowing if it wasn't done, I was a bit sacrificing my own personal health and mental health for that. So that has been a ray of sunshine and a value and a lesson learned more impactful. And it's wonderful to see.
I'm so glad you're addressing that and mentioning, because so many leaders shy away, and that is such important human factor and expectations that not only we need to take care of ourselves in order to take care of others, right? But also you demonstrate those values as a leader and setting up the tone for others, and it is so refreshing as we're seeing burnout and a lot of other challenges that are happening with organizations. And what are some of the things that really keeps you going when those challenging, difficult times arrive?
So I'll tell you one thing that was specific. The reason the Ink brand is so meaningful to me, I remember as a young boy going to the corner stores when the magazines were still in the aisle, and you would go in the back, kind of get a little snippet of it, then read and go out. And seeing that, saying one day I hope to be in there. And I think around 2021, 22, when our son opened the magazine and I was in there, and there's me taking a picture of him opening it up. To me, that just was meaningful to see full circle. Here's our son looking at this magazine, seeing me in there. And that to me was, hey, if this thing fell down, if everything went belly up and there was no more success, to see that moment just meant something to me, to say, hey, look, I tried something and at this moment it was doing well, and he got to see it. And that really warmed my heart to see you can drive, and even through all the ups and downs, there's still something for legacy impact on others. It just re put focus on when you do things for other people, it sometimes can come back to you. Doesn't always come back, but it can come back. And when it does, those things are mindful. Being in position to sometimes help other people, that's been one of the most rewarding things of this whole process.
I love that example, and I love that, as you said, full circle, because you are obviously living and leading with your legacy. You already established tremendous legacy that you already left and impacted not only your immediate family, but also so many people that had a chance and opportunity to work with. And then also based on obviously your tenure and your proven work that you continue to not only exceed and continue to provide the excellence, but also continue to invest and continue to push forward and do things further than maybe any other individuals will not dare to go. So with that in mind, what would you like to, in this point of your life, in this chapter of your life, your legacy to be, and what would you like to be remembered or known for?
Ooh, that's loaded. I've lately really been on wanting to be in a position where the later years of my life are focused on, I don't want to say, just like being able to give back onto those foundations that are feeding and giving to those less fortunate. So I can give you one that's meaningful to me. I through LinkedIn, I met one. It's called 365 Gifted out of Canada, and to just see what they do with their foundation, it's been meaningful to me. And those things where you see people take funds and they help other people, it's almost like, say, okay, you go do what you need to do to gain resources, then you go and help other people who are helping other people. It's like everybody can kind of play their role into that. So if that's what I'm able to take from this and pass on to somebody else, eventually that's where I want to find myself in one of those organizations, to spend the latter years of my life being a vital part and role into that one. Until then, I'll leverage this to help you.
That is wonderful. And we all need a strong community ties and community leaders beside great legacy leaders like yourself. But I'm also curious, obviously, you published the book. You have a Wall Street Journal bestselling, your bestselling book. And I'm curious for everybody. I am dying to learn, and I'm sure everybody watching and listening now, it's like, first of all, tell us a little bit about that book and what prompted you to write, because obviously you created Timeless Legacy, not only for your son and your children, but everybody generationally that can benefit from it.
That book Genesis came, I don't want to say out of fear, but I'm asthmatic. My son's asthmatic. And when COVID first came, I didn't know if that was something so severe that it was going to take me out. So initially it was written as a memoir for me to tell him, this is how I thought, this is how I was raised, this is how, if this world keeps on the trajectory it's going, my life went and where the successes I had. And so when I wrote an article on Entrepreneur about empathy wins and selling doesn't, I began to get a lot of feedback on there. So I pushed and said, push and make this a book. And it's been meaningful to see it, because growing up, sometimes if you get the wrong educator, they can seek to scar you or tell you or place doubt in places. And writing wasn't something I thought that was one of the four skills. So I was hoping it wasn't that bad, that it would leave a horrible legacy. So that's why in the back, some of the names I called out and thanks, I went in and bunched them in the middle. That way, if people went to read who I was thanking, the important people were kind of buried in there if it wasn't such a bad thing. But that genesis came from wanting to leave a legacy for him, because I didn't think I was going to be here.
Wow, what a powerful story. And for everybody watching and listening, obviously during the hardship, a lot of unknown, during when you have already compromised health and you don't know if you're going to survive, right? Because we're just so much craziness going on. But then again, to be so thoughtful and mindful and then preserve something remarkable through those stories for a young son, that you want to make sure he has something directly message from you as he continues to turn from that young boy into a successful young man. And we're so glad that things turn out better. And I'm so glad that Genesis right now obviously became such a great transformative avenue for everybody that are going through their own Genesis right now.
Yeah. Along that time of me feeling that, I had just gone through what I felt was really challenging. You're running into larger companies trying to show a less than favorable personality to you and having to fight and combat what I felt was just unfair practices towards me to kind of bury it. I said, look, let me leave this for young budding entrepreneurs. And if you were going to get the new kind of generation of entrepreneurs saying, hey, look, you can value, you can have success if you anchor in these things, because having gone through what I was going through earlier before writing that, I just kept getting hit from all levels on what I felt people who weren't really seeking to follow those principles and having to fight and combat them in indirect ways. It kind of wore me out, and it was also an added frustration level to put in there. Hey, you can have success embracing these. So yeah, it was almost two-pronged. It was a legacy, but definitely wanted to kind of put there was a frustrating tone in so many words about what I had just experienced.
Before we conclude, I would love to, if you can share where they can find the Genesis, the book, so that they can also leverage that as a tool for growth and overcoming their own Genesis and challenges, but also for people that are interested to learn more of some of your tremendous work, where they can also go to learn more.
Yeah. So thanks, Isabella. It's on Amazon.com, and I'm mostly am on LinkedIn more than any of the other platforms when I can get in there. And that's interesting how we were talking about earlier. I've learned to kind of pace myself even on there when to be out. So I'm on there, LinkedIn, and the book is easily accessible on Amazon.
Fantastic. We're going to make sure that everybody gets the link. We're going to make sure also they know how to get in touch with you. But in closing, for the last message, if you don't mind just sharing one thing that you can see from all the experiences, all the ups and downs, what would you say it's the one thing that it's always with you that keeps you anchored and that keeps you focused on your goals and dreams no matter what? What is that? And what would you advise others to do the same?
That's interesting. I would want to say there's almost an element of, I hear other people say, find whatever dark side you have to you, but and harness that energy. And some of that comes from always being, well, not always, more often than not, having the assumption you're not capable, you don't belong into this space, and that being an edge to go forward and push, saying, I had a capability as much as anybody else because I'm trying to do the right thing. Though I make mistakes and though I fail, I feel my purpose and reason for doing this kind of outweighs the next person's in terms of a competitive sense of it, that I want to do it to really help someone else. So being told often and not being believed that you're capable is almost a driving force, kind of a chip on the shoulder to say, I'm gonna go do it, whether somebody believes in me or not, because I'm trying to do it for something greater than myself. So that drives me all each day when I wake up, saying, I run into it daily, where if it's not said explicitly, it's said in nonverbal ways. So that reminder daily and often is what pushes me.
Thank you for listening to Legacy Leader Show. If you enjoyed the content and had a positive experience, then please leave us a positive rating. In addition, leave us a positive review whenever you are listening on whatever platform there might be. Make sure your friends and family also know about the benefit and value that we provide and what we have to offer. Cheers.